We are in part 5 of Big Faith, and today we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 14, page 557 in the church Bibles. The New Testament and the Old Testament teach that individuals connect or reconnect with God through faith and trust. That makes sense because our relationship with God was broken through a lack of trust in the Garden of Eden. So the condition of our faith is important to God. The condition of our faith actually equals our relationship with Him. Growing our faith is the equivalent of growing our relationship with God. In this Big Faith series, we're discovering 5 things God uses to grow our faith. The first one is practical teaching and wholesome relationships, personal or spiritual disciplines. This is what we talked about last week. If you missed that sermon, you need to tune in to whichever one you missed. And then servant ministry is what we're talking about today. And then next week is challenging circumstances. We're going to kind of wrap up everything. You don't want to miss next week's message. It will help you so much in your walk with the Lord. When people tell their stories, they usually talk about stepping out of their comfort zone to serve someone or to get involved in some kind of spiritual activity aimed at helping other people. You'll often hear people say, when I was in way over my head, and then they go through the story, or I was so far out of my league, or I was so scared and praying so hard. They didn't feel trained. They didn't feel qualified. They just saw a need. They just heard about an opportunity, and they were available. That was it. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of their service, that they had no idea what they were doing, God showed up and did something incredible. A service project, maybe. A missions trip. Serving in kids club or the youth group, Empowered, right here at South Bay. Or maybe it was in a starting point where they were so scared they wouldn't have the right answer to the question being given to them. Or maybe in a community group somewhere. What if somebody asked me some question? Or talking to a friend at a diner or somewhere about spiritual things or the church or their relationship with God. Those dynamics grow your faith. Some of you are feeling a nudge to do something new, to do something unusual, and you are resisting. You have the brakes on. And there is more at stake in all of that than you can ever imagine. Hey, turn with me to Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. This story actually captures the tension, the emotion of this charged issue. Jesus has just gotten the word that Herod, who made an incredibly rash promise to a dancer at a dinner party, and because of that, he beheaded John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, the first cousin of Jesus. The dancer had requested John's head on a platter. Imagine how angry Jesus might have been, or how much grief Jesus might have had. Imagine how the disciples felt, the bewilderment that might have captured their heart for a few moments. Jesus, he had turned water into wine at a wedding. Jesus had healed total strangers. Jesus had casted out demons, and he does nothing to stop his cousin from being executed by a coward giving in to the whims of his own lust. Are you kidding me? This is the Herod that was the son of Herod the Great, who tried to kill Jesus as a baby in Bethlehem. Now Herod the Tetrarch, the ruler of just a quarter of the region that his father ruled, has killed the cousin of Jesus, a friend of Jesus, the forerunner of the Messiah, to make the way for the Messiah, the baptizer, the prophet, and a very, very godly man. The scripture, the story starts out with this. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. He needed a moment to grieve, a moment to collect himself. Have you ever felt like that? Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns that were around there. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick, as tired as he was. even with all of his grief, even with all of his exhaustion, he doesn't say, no, 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 come back tomorrow, I'm just too tired. He moves back into the crowd all day long, absolutely all day long. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. And most likely the disciples were getting a little hungry too. You know, when I get hungry, my stomach gurgles, and it's kind of embarrassing sometimes. I'm sure they were feeling the hunger pains as well. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. Look at this. You give them something to eat. The disciples just asked Jesus to do something, to send the crowds away. And now Jesus turns the table. Doesn't God do this to us a lot of times? Jesus asked the disciples to do something instead. Here we stand, right? At some point, you're going to feel that tug. You're going to feel that tension in your own life. To do something maybe you don't feel qualified to do. Do something you may not have the resources to do. They didn't have the food necessary. Do you know what that tension is? Do you know how to explain what that tension you're feeling is? Listen, it's your faith being stretched. That's what's really going on here. The question, do I really trust God that much? Am I really that confident God is with me? You will be right at the edge of the high dive. You'll just be right about to jump into ministry and you'll feel that tug. You'll want to have it done. You'll want to have had the experience, but you're so afraid to take the plunge. So we offer excuses. Look at the disciples. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answer. Jesus, are you kidding me? What's that going to do? He said, bring them here to me, he said, Jesus said. I was afraid he was going to say that. Now here goes our lunch. Bring me what you have to offer, Jesus said. Give me your time. Give me your talent. Give me your skills. Give me your availability. Give me yourself. That's what Jesus just told the disciples, in essence. Look at this. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he lifted them up and gave thanks and broke the loaves, and then he gave them to the disciples. And you know what they did? The only thing they knew to do. Look at this. And the disciples gave them to the people. Here's the key. You do what you can do, and you trust God to do what only He can do. Look at this. Let me just word it a little bit different. I'll do what I can do, and I'll trust God to do what only He can do. Warren Wiersbe, my favorite author, he says, Jesus multiplies and we distribute. Jesus multiplies and you distribute in ministry. We get into so much trouble when we try to multiply and we can't do that. You can't multiply anything. The only thing you can do is distribute what God has already multiplied. The miracle belongs to God. We're just the delivery people. But if you don't step out and do what you can do, if you don't step out and do what you can do, listen, you will never, ever know what He was willing to do through you. That's a huge statement. Look at the scripture. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides the women and children, most of whom were alive when this story began to circulate. They were firsthand people telling this story. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. They were in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. He was on the mountain praying. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Right after the first faith lesson, Jesus immediately sends them into another one. Jesus had sent his guys into another impossible situation. We couldn't feed 5,000 people on our own. Come on, Jesus. We did that. You did this incredible miracle. Now you're sending us into another impossible situation. And get this, on purpose. Did you learn anything the first time, guys? Probably not, right? We're slow to learn sometimes. Okay, now I want you to row into the wind for a while. Look, during the fourth watch of the night, for you guys who don't have a clue what the fourth watch of the night is, I don't either. I have to look stuff like that up. It's shortly before dawn. It's like kind of the last hour before the sun rises. Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. He was walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then Peter begins to put all this together. This is twice. Jesus just put them in an impossible situation back to back. Peter put his theory to the test. He looked at Jesus and he says, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. "I knew it," Peter was probably thinking. "I don't know. I do what I know how to do, and then Jesus does the rest." But when he saw the wind, when Peter saw the wind, and one translation says wind and waves, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt? Why did you doubt me? Of course you can't walk on the water. Everybody knows that. But with me, anything is possible. Why did you doubt me?" Peter, trust me. Lean into the trust. I got you on all of these things. This was about their faith. This was another test of faith. Look at the rest of the story. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Just a footnote on that before we go on. Truly, you are the Son of God. In the beginning of the ministry, this is getting toward the latter part of the ministry, they said, "What kind of man is this?" When he was inside the boat and calmed the storm. Now he's outside the boat. And they recognize him as the Son of God. Their faith is growing through all of these things. But this is one of their biggest faith lessons. The Apostle Peter recounted to Mark in chapter 6, verse 51. He said, "Then they climbed into the boat with him. And when the wind died down, they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened." There's things in our hearts that keep us from having the faith we need, keep us from having the understanding. We got to clear those out with these experiences. And that's exactly where we stand. As a Christian, you have been gifted by God for ministry. You have been gifted in all kinds of ways for ministry. And from time to time, you'll be challenged to step out of your comfort zone and do something in ministry that only God can complete. You can never do it on your own. You will know in your heart, this is not a guilt trip. This is not just a pastor's plea. We need help in children's church or wherever. But a burden from God for the person or the group, and you will hesitate. You'll hesitate for reasons that we'll discuss in just a moment. There may be some women or some men or a new couple in your neighborhood, and you've been thinking about inviting them over and seeing whether you can get to a spiritual conversation. That's been on your heart. But you think, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And what if they punch me in the nose? And what if, and you fill in the blank with all of these things. Every time you hear us talk about students' ministry, the youth group, or children's ministry, something tugs at your heart. You are gifted with working with that age group, but I'm really busy, and what if this, and what if that, and what if the other thing? And besides, I'm not equipped. I don't have a clue what I'm doing. But Jesus said, you give them something to eat. you minister to them. But you don't have anything to eat, and I don't even know if there's anything in my heart to share with them. You feel a tug out of the marketplace and into full-time vocational ministry as a pastor or as an evangelist, but you've got a mortgage. I've been in that boat. You've got kids to raise. God doesn't really offer a retirement plan on earth anyway, does he? I mean, ultimately he does in heaven, but what about right now? You feel a tug to lead a community group or to host a community group. You feel a tug to sing on the worship team, but what if this and what if that and what if the other thing? And what if on the worship team, Simon Cowell comes to church one day and suddenly appears and makes fun of my singing in front of everybody? What if that happens? That's probably not going to happen. Do you know what that tension is? It is your faith being stretched. Do I really trust God that much? Am I really confident God is with me or will be with me in that starting point group or with that age group or with whatever he's calling me to do? You see, there are two things at work here. Two things. Look at the first one. Fear. What if this thing doesn't work out? What if somebody hurts me? What if somebody wounds my heart? Or all these insecurities that come up, all those feed into the fears that we just soak up. Inadequacy is the other one. I don't know how. Who am I to tell people how to live their lives? Who am I to, I don't know the Bible like so-and-so or such-and-such. Here's an illustration. You're a kid again, standing on the edge of that diving board that we talked about a few moments ago. It's so tall. That water's so far away. Your dad is in the pool telling you to jump, that it's okay, you got this. You keep looking back at the ladder behind you. You want to have it done. Your dad's going to be so proud of you, but you're so afraid to do it. So there they stand. The disciples, the apostles, they stand there wondering what to do. They had no idea what hung in the balance. They do what they know to do, and then they just trust Jesus to do what only he can do. Listen, friends, that's the walk of faith. Look at this. I'll do what I can do and trust God to do what only he can do. At home, I know this is weird, but I want you to say that with me. Look at this. Look at this. I mean it. Read it out loud. Come on. I'll do what I can do and trust God to do what only he can do. If you downloaded your sermon notes, that's there. You need to be thinking about this every day. We will cut and break and hand it out, but you better get involved. Do you think the apostles ever forgot that day when they fed 5,000 people and Jesus came to them walking on the water? Are you kidding me? The day they submitted their hands to Jesus and allowed him to work through them, that's the day their faith soared. Could that really happen? I think so. I have simple faith, and I believe that really happened one day. If God can create all of this world out of nothing, I can't explain any of that. He can multiply a few loaves and a couple fish and walk on some water. Piece of cake. But I also can't explain how I'm talking into a camera right now, and it's being translated digitally through the internet, and you're hearing me across the town, across our county, across the land, across the country, really. Some smart creation of God who's much smarter than me figured out how to make all of that happen. If I rarely trust things before I can explain them, then guess what? I would not be talking into this camera today until I understood it. And if that were the case, listen, I would have to walk out of church today without communicating with any of you. The disciples didn't understand the multiplication. I don't understand the multiplication now. But they distributed it anyway. Immediately, Jesus puts them in the boat to do another impossible thing, hoping they will remember the lesson that they just learned. Row, row, row your boat across the lake against the wind, but they can't. The storm is against them. And then Jesus, when they're afraid the most, he walks out on the water right by them and literally scares them almost to death. They were so terrified. But somehow Peter gets it and says, "Tell me to come to you on the water and I'll come. I think I understand how this whole thing works, Jesus. I don't know how to feed 5,000. I don't know how to walk on the water. But if I'm responding to your invitation, and if I'm trusting you, it will work out. Jesus, just call for me and I'll come." Peter is doing so good. And then he looks at the wind and he looks at the waves. He gets his eyes off of Jesus. He's afraid and begins to sink. Listen to this once more. Listen to this. "Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith,' he said, 'why did you doubt?'" Later, Jesus stands on a hillside and he hands the whole responsibility for the entire enterprise to these same men whose faith had finally matured to the point of being able to handle what he has been giving them. Everybody stands there at one point or another. Kimberly and I were praying in our living room of a huge home that we remodeled. It was probably our dream house, and about 7,000 square feet. It was this huge home that we got into foreclosure. We were wondering if we should leave everything that was familiar, everything that was comfortable, the living that we were making. We knew we would have to sell this beautiful home. Should we leave it all and begin a ministry, get this, that cannot even afford to pay us for years? Everyone on a short-term mission trip has experienced this. They don't know if they have all the answers. They don't know what the circumstances are going to be like. Our starting point leaders, what if some guy comes in or woman comes in and asks me this ridiculously hard question? How am I ever going? I don't know the answers. Guess what? I don't either. Some of the time. Our youth group leaders, what if I'm not cool enough? Well, guess what? That's easy. You're not. You never will be. Inviting your neighbor, what if they yell at me? What if they're mad at me? Leading a group, what if this? What if that? What if the other thing? Hosting a group, what if this? What if that? What if the other thing? And nobody knows what hangs in the balance of any of those decisions. But listen, I tell you one thing that hangs in the balance. The maturity of your faith hangs in the balance. And guess what? The maturity of someone else's faith hangs in the balance as well. Think about this. Aren't you so glad somebody took a chance, ignored his fear or ignored her fear, and stepped through the door of his own insecurities to introduce you to Jesus? All of us were somebody's personal ministry project at some time or another. And God wants you to step out in faith and believe him and trust him and do this that you might glorify him and bless him and help him in his work that he has on earth. Your faith hangs in the balance. Look at this. And the maturity of someone else's faith hangs in the balance. So lean in. You'll get past your fear. You'll get past your insecurities. Lean in and trust Jesus with all of that. Your faith will soar, and you will be blessed as a result. Let's close in prayer. God, we just come before you today in the name of Jesus. We praise you, we bless you, we honor you, we adore you. God, most of all today, we trust you. We want our faith to grow. We want our faith to soar. And just as these apostles trusted you, just as they leaned into you, not with just one lesson, sometimes our lessons come back to back too. Lord, we don't understand the multiplication. We don't understand walking on the water. But if you bid us to come and we follow you, you will never, ever, ever let us down. Will it be scary? Yes. Will we be afraid? Yes. Will we have a clue what we're doing? Probably not. But if we trust you and step out into ministry, our faith will soar. And as a result, God, you will be incredibly, Lord, blessed, and other people will be blessed, and you will be glorified and honored. And Lord, we love you so much. We praise you for who you are, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.